Let's pray this morning. Father, we thank you we can gather in your name. And Lord, it's good to hear laughter and joy. And Lord, we thank you for all things. Open our hearts this morning to your word and such special psalm once again that you have brought to attention. So lead us and guide us in Jesus' name. Amen. Before I announce the psalm, I'll just ask you to sing Holy, Holy, Holy. Psalm 99, praise to the Lord for His holiness. The Lord reigns. Let the peoples tremble. He dwells between the cherubim. Let the earth be moved. The Lord is great in Zion, and He is high above all the peoples. Let them praise your great and awesome name. He is holy. The king's strength also loves justice. You have established equity. You have executed justice and righteousness in Jacob. Exalt the Lord our God, and worship at his footstool. He is holy. Moses and Aaron were among his priests, and Samuel was among those who called upon his name. They called upon the Lord, and he answered them. He spoke to them in the cloudy pillar. They kept his testimonies and the ordinances he gave them. You answered them, O Lord our God. You were to them God who forgives. Though you took vengeance on their deeds, exalt the Lord our God and worship at his holy hill, for the Lord our God is holy. Just a couple of comments on this psalm. You can't improve on those words. We don't want to even mention that kind of a thing. The Lord reigns. Yes, he does. Let the peoples tremble. I believe that's twofold. The believers tremble at his awesomeness. Sinners tremble at in fear of him. Let the earth be moved. No matter whether it's an earthquake or whatever, the Lord reigns. Think of a big earthquake. Big earthquake. Think of the election. Which is greater? Think of the United States. Think of a big earthquake. Which is greater? No, it is him. It is him alone that we really want to be moved by. Let the earth be moved. The Lord is great in Zion. Zion stands for the holy hill. Today, it really stands for the church. He met the people on Mount Zion. We will see here in just a moment, he dwells between the cherubim. You remember that was Israel's greatest prideful prize. They had the Ark of the Covenant. They had the Ark of the Covenant where God said, I will meet you there. There was only one place he said, I will meet you there. That was at the Ark of the Covenant. So it was important. However, they used it as a prideful symbol and said, we have the temple, we have the Ark of the Covenant, therefore we can do whatever we want. And they went after all kinds of other gods. Today, there's no more Ark of the Covenant. In Jeremiah, there's no more in the kingdom age, there's no more Ark of the Covenant. There's really no Ark of the Covenant today. Why? Because Jesus has replaced the Ark of the Covenant, and he's come to us. No longer is God saying, there is a place I will meet with you, because he will meet with us every place, right? Now, there are places that, you know, we meet in here, and it's somewhat different maybe than another room somewhere else, but God is everywhere, right? And so he dwells between the cherubim, which today is Jesus Christ. Let the earth be moved. The Lord is great in Zion. He's great in the church, or should be great in the church. That's his place. That's his people. And he is high above all the peoples. Let them praise your great and awesome name. How much are we really praising his great and awesome name? Put on a scale. Murmuring, complaining, all the evil that's out there versus praising his name. Where is your scale? He is holy. He is holy. He is holy. Think of what that means. He is holy. So those first three verses have to do with his nature. These next two verses have to do with what he does. The king's strength also loves justice. You have established equity. You have executed justice and righteousness. Exalt the Lord our God and worship at his footstool. He is holy. In our imperfections, it's just impossible for us to equate or to, I don't know, equate's the right word, but to consider the mercy and love of God on one hand and the absolute justice and righteousness on the other hand. His system is perfect justice and righteousness, and yet it doesn't compromise his mercy. You and I can't do that, really, apart from him at all. We're either all in or all out. I mean, I really love you or I hate you, right? I'll either pray for you for forgiveness or I'll pray the Lord kick your teeth in, you know, one of the two, you know. So we have here, he has established equity, he has executed justice and righteousness in Jacob. Exalt. What does exalt mean? Lift up, magnify. When you think of God, do you really exalt him? Exalt the Lord our God and worship at his footstool. Where's his footstool? Well, I believe that's Jesus Christ today. I believe it was the Ark of the Covenant originally, but his footstool, I think, now is Christ. Are you the foot of the cross? Are you worshiping at his footstool? He is holy. Now, these next verses have to do with his forgiveness, and I really, for a prayer group, these are really awesome verses because we're going to be talking about Moses, Aaron, and Samuel primarily from the standpoint of their prayers. They were great men of prayers, as you know. Moses, you know, even said he would wipe his name in the book of life for the nation, right? And I haven't even prayed even within a million miles of that prayer, I don't think. Aaron prayed every time he would slit the bull's throat, even though originally he made the golden calf. I mean, a year before that, became high priest. He was made the golden calf. Samuel, great man of prayer. What did he say? I cannot commit the sin of prayerlessness, right? And I think I commit that every day. But we see here, some people think that he's primarily talking now. They kept his ordinances and the testimonies and ordinances he gave them. You answered them, O Lord. You were to them God who forgives, though you took vengeance on their deeds. Their deeds, some people relate to those three guys because they all sinned. Striking the rock for Moses, golden calf for Aaron, and Samuel's sons were not made to do right. But I think probably that refers to the nation of Israel. They were praying for the nation of Israel, but how Israel disobeyed and went into idolatry in such a great way. And yet we see to them he was the God who forgives, because every time we see the judgment being forecast for the people, he always has the evidence of mercy at the end of every one of those, giving them a chance, and how he does that with you and I. We sin over and over, but we have his promise if we confess our sins, really confess him. He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So then, repeating and closing the psalm once again, the command, exalt the Lord our God and worship. Exalt the Lord our God and worship at his holy hill. I think the holy hill today is again Christ. It is again the church, which is his place. That's the tabernacle of our eternal tabernacle will be with him, as we will be with him. But we desire to exalt him and worship him. Why? Third time, for the Lord our God is holy. Father, we thank you for this great prayer here that we read in the intercessory prayers of Moses and Aaron and Samuel. It says, you answered them. You answered them. And Lord, here we are to pray. If we pray according to your will, we know you will answer us in the way your will is to be done. So guide us and lead us this morning as we recognize your holiness, recognize your perfection, recognize your justice, recognize your righteousness. Lord, help us to keep our priorities straight. It is your church. It is us who should be praying, and praying is led by you, led by your Spirit. You've given each of us your Spirit. So may we be led this morning, and may we all just agree, because we're all in the same Spirit. We all have the same Spirit, all desire to do your will. So lead us and guide us now, Lord, in Jesus' name, amen. We do thank you, Lord, for your faithfulness. May we remember what is 100% sure, and what, on the other hand, there's a possibility of something happening. 100% sure, Lord, that you reign. 100% sure that you so loved the world that you gave your only begotten Son, that whosoever believes should not perish but have everlasting life. 100% sure that you're coming soon, Lord. May we focus on these things, Lord. I pray for the church, Lord. I pray the church would not be focused on complacency and on social issues and so forth, above the fact that you're coming back soon, Lord. We need to be ready. Yes. You have said you are the light of the world. Mm-hmm. You have said go and preach the gospel and make disciples of all nations, Lord. Help us to be active in that, Lord. We do thank you for blessing Calvary Chapel for 55 years of tremendous work Lord, help us not to be looking back. Help us not to be riding on what you've already done, but to be soberly looking ahead, Lord, keeping ourselves away from idols, as Apostle John would say, and honoring you. Thank you for these precious people here. We see the thing mentioned today in that psalm about Moses and Aaron and Samuel. It wasn't the great work that they did necessarily, although they did great work, but we may remember their prayers, Lord. We remember their prayers. And so, Lord, we will not necessarily go out and preach to thousands, but we can pray. We can pray, Lord. There's not a child of God who can't pray. In all circumstances, in all situations, Lord, help us to pray. We thank you that we can exclaim together, "The Lord reigns." Amen.